Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Your Website Engineer webinar. Today, we'll be talking about how to add custom scripts to our WordPress site. Specifically, we're going to learn how to add a lightbox to a child theme, and then we'll talk about how to add custom Google fonts to a child theme as well. And of course, all of these things that we talk about today can be they can be used and they can be implemented on both child themes, they can be on themes, they can be on plugins, anything along those lines. This is the same method that we can use for those. So today, like I said, we'll be covering custom scripts into your WordPress site, how you can add them, and to make sure that you're doing things the right way. And the biggest reason why to do this is because if you don't do it the correct way, it could definitely break some things within your website. If you've ever tried to load two versions of JavaScript onto the same website, you'll know that that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all, and it completely breaks your site, and there's absolutely nothing that can be done. You know, then you have to go and you have to find where the other one is. And so if everybody does it correctly, then that way WordPress is smart enough to know that initiate two different versions of JavaScript, then it's smart enough to know, hey, let's only load one of those because we only need one version of it to work. And so today we're going to be talking through a function or two that we can find in the WordPress codex, and we're going to go ahead and do that, and I'll show you exactly how you can read the codex and get that all set up. And then we'll go into the child theme that I've created for 2015, and then we'll go ahead and we'll add the ability to add a custom light box, or a way that when you click on an image, it pulls up in a light box window, so it kind of hovers over your website instead of just clicking to another page like it normally does default WordPress right out of the box. So that's that. If you have questions during the webinar, feel free to ask. If you're watching the video replay, feel free to ask the questions in the YouTube channel or the comments on yourwebsiteengineer.com, and I'll be sure to answer those when I get a chance. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and just dive right in. Now, I have to say that there aren't any slides today. I made one slide here for the opening page, and that's pretty much it. We are going to dive right in, and we're going to spend some time. I don't think this will take the full hour, but if you have any questions along the way, feel free to ask them, or feel free to ask them at the end, and then we can go over covering them and doing that at the end. So let's go ahead and dive right in, and let's remove this page here from the preview window so we can go ahead and close that. We don't need that anymore. But basically what we're going to do is we're going to be using Hello World. This is just a local instance of WordPress running right here on my computer with desktop server. If you never tried desktop server, I highly recommend it. Go ahead and check it out. You can actually go to desktopserver.com, or if you want to use my affiliate link, it's over at yourwebsiteengineer.com/desktopserver. And it is an awesome way to run WordPress locally right here on your computer. And so to make sure that you don't have to have an internet connection or whatnot. Makes it great for spinning up sites for webinars and stuff like this, or demo sites or things along those lines. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this locally, and it makes it easier for me to develop and show you things without having to upload to a server and whatnot. So we'll do that. We're going to talk about a fancy box. That's going to be the solution that we use. But the very first thing that we want to do actually is we want to look at the script WP_script, and that's going to be the main one that we're going to look at today. So I've got a nice little handy shortcut using Alfred, and Alfred is another just kind of a plugin that I use, or it's a program running on my Mac that makes it very, very easy for me to quickly get to different places. And I have a shortcut set up, so if I go Command Space, and then I can type in WP Space, and then whatever function that I'm looking to use, then it'll automatically open that up in the codec. So I'm just going to do that real quick. So we got WP, and I guess it's on my other screen here, so you can't see it. So it's WP, and then I'm going to do WP_NQ script. And then I'll show you this when it pulls up. And okay, that's fine. It's going to open up here in Safari. And this is the script, and it basically links a script file to the generated page at the right time according to the script dependencies, if the script has not already been included and if all the dependencies have been registered. And so this is going to be the function that we're going to use, WP_register_script. And you can see here there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different parameters, and we're going to look at these parameters real quick, and then as we type in the code, I'll talk through those just a little bit more as well. So WP_NQ_script, this is the plugin that we're going to use, either in a functions.php file, we can use it in the plugins folder, we can use it all these different places to make sure that we're loading the proper version of the whatever type of code we're trying to load. And so the first parameter that we're looking at is the name used as handle for the script. So you can use pretty much anything that you want. We'll show two different examples that you can use ones that are preloaded. And if we scroll all the way down to the bottom, these are ones that are already loaded inside of WordPress itself. We just have to call them. So if we want to use jQuery, all we have to do is we have to put the handle jQuery, and then we're done. And I'll show you this as well. If we wanted to do jQuery form, we put jQuery-form, and then we're done. And we don't have to fill in the rest of those parameters when it comes to the function wp_enqueue_scripts. So you can see there's quite a few of these. There's a lot of them that are in here that all we'd have to do is just add this little bit. And so I think they're constantly adding these. Here's the soft delicious ones that have been removed. And so those aren't there anymore. They were removed in version 3.5 of WordPress. So let's go back up here and take a look. And so we've talked about the handle. So the handle is basically something you can make up, or you can just call it whatever the name of the file is. And I think in the example that we'll do today, it will be called Lightbox. The SRC is basically the link. It is the link to where the file is stored. So if you're putting this in a child theme, you'll want to use like the get template URI for themes. And then that basically will allow you to go in, add this code. you basically link this. I'll show you this exactly how to do it. But basically, we want to just say where the file is that we want to load. If you're trying to load this from a third-party site, you can actually just put like http://, and then, you know, Google Fonts or whatever that is, you can put that right there in the SRC box. The dependency, or the DEPS, is the array that handles the scripts that are dependent on. So say, for example, you want to use like one of these examples down here at the bottom is jQuery, let's do jQuery color. Well, jQuery color actually needs jQuery to run. And so you want to make sure that it's dependent on jQuery to run properly. And so that's another thing that you have to do. So in that example, and I believe there's one example that we'll show today that will show a dependency and where we have to put that dependency. The version is you can specify the script version number if you have it, and that's just helpful. If there's no version set, you can set it to false, and then it adds a version number equal to the current version of WordPress. And so a lot of times I'll just set this to false because, you know, if you're running two different versions of jQuery or two different versions of something, you can enqueue multiple versions if you want, but that's not absolutely necessary. And then the last one is in_footer, and that basically scripts are put in the head of an HTML document, so it goes right before the closing of the header tag. But if the parameter is true, it puts it right at the bottom. And so this just depends on where you want it to load. You want your page to load faster, then you put the scripts down at the bottom. If you need it, you know, something like that would be perfectly fine. You know, this thing that we're going to add to put an image at the, or make the image auto preview, like that's something that we can put at the very bottom, because when a web page loads, like it's going to load normally, and then the functionality is only going to be there once the page has been fully loaded, which makes a lot of sense. So that's where you can find out all the information. Just you can put in wp_enqueue script. So you can put that right inside the WordPress codex. And from there, you can go ahead and see all of these parameters. There's also another one that we'll talk through just a little bit that is, we'll leave this page open too so we can get to it. But at the bottom, it normally shows related ones. And there's also one called wp enqueue style. And this is a very similar function, and this will do exactly the same thing, except it is made for style sheets instead of, so anything that ends in a .css. And basically you can see that they're almost identical when it comes to the parameters. We've got the handle, which is the same, the SRC, which is the same, the dependence, which is the same, the version that's in the same, and then media is the only one that's different. And so this one is different depending on what type of style sheet is being defined. So rather than, you know, some of the examples are all screen handheld print. So if you had a special print screen, then you could go ahead and add this to the print screen. You know, like this is the print screen CSS. And so that's what you would do there, that you would put that. Otherwise, you just put all, and it's just going to be a standard style sheet. So basically what you want to use this for is you would use the wp_enqueue_style to make sure that the style sheets get loaded properly into the proper place inside the header of your WordPress theme that you're building or your child theme. And so instead of putting the actual like link equals style sheet and putting all that right in your header.php file, you would put this in something like a functions.php file, and then it will automatically load it the proper way. And then that keeps your code a little bit smaller and just a little bit more compact when it comes to when whatever's in that header.php file. And that makes sure that it loads in the correct order and that it's not conflicting with other things. And that's just the proper way to do that. So we'll go ahead and show that as well. So let's go back over to, let's see here, Chrome. Chrome will be the browser of choice for the most part today. And what we want to do is we're going to go over to FancyBox, and it's fancyapps.com/fancybox. And this is basically just kind of a cool tool. This is basically what it's telling us is we're going to install a plugin. We'll unzip it, and then we're going to then it wants us to add all of this information to our header.php file, which of course we won't do because we want to do it the correct way. And so what we want to do is, let's see, I'm just going to scroll down through here so we can see some examples of what this is actually going to look like. And so this is something that you see an image, and then we click on an image and it kind of pulls up in a box like this. And so that's something that we're more interested in. That's what we're going to be building here in this webinar. You can also do it for image galleries. You can do it for all kinds of things, but let's just go ahead and download this file here. I will download it and put it here in my Finder directory, and it we'll just go ahead and kind of get rolling from there. So let's pull this up here so we can all see it, and then we'll unzip this. And we'll just call it Fancy Apps, just so it's there like that. And basically, we've downloaded this information. This will all be shared in the webinar replay link. But basically, what this is all like, this is the change log. Here's a demo. Here's some library. It's got some jQuery, different versions of jQuery and stuff that's in there. But basically, what we really want is we want this source code. We want the source code. We don't need the README. We don't really need the sprite that has all of this information. We don't need the PSD. Like, this is just all the stuff, all the assets, if you will, if you wanted to make modifications to how this plugin is going to work. So basically, we just need the source. We want to put all of this, and I'm going to change the name of this to include, just so it makes a little bit more sense when we are using it inside of our child theme. So I'm going to open another Finder window here so we can move over to our sites folder. It's in wp_dev and then wp-content, and then we are going to look in the themes, and I've built this child theme that's already there. And then we're going to go ahead and just include that file right in there. And so that's basically what we're going to do. That's going to be the first step of the process, is just going through there, and we've taken the code that we've downloaded, and this can be code. This could be any JavaScript code that you can imagine. It can be any JavaScript code that you'd like to use to add special functionality to your website. You can use that right there. You can basically do the exact same thing. So we're downloading the file, and then we're putting all the source files inside of our child theme, because child themes are the best way to build a WordPress theme or to modify a theme. And now what we need to do is we need to start referencing these files, and we want to make sure that we're doing things right, and we want to make sure that, okay, we can start like the proper way to actually load this file. So we're going to need to load this jQuery.fancybox.css. We're going to need to load jQuery.fancybox.pack. These are the two big files. These two files are the same. This one is one if we needed to make modifications for it, and this one is one that's all like jammed together to be most efficient. And so these are the two files that we're going to need. These images, like if I was doing this for real, like I would put all of these GIF files and PNG files, I would put those all in an images folder. I would kind of compress this just a little bit to make it a little bit nicer. But for this example, we're just going to leave it exactly as it is. So we'll move on over to Sublime Text is going to be the editor of choice. And right now we've got the 2015 child theme. I basically just opened the child theme up and I've put in that includes folder. You can see I've got a functions.php file, and then I've got a style.css file. And the style.css is just what it takes to run a child theme. I've changed the entry color title from color to green. It was black, it was turned to green. I just wanted to make sure right before the webinar started that everything was working properly. And so I went ahead and changed it green. The child theme was loading properly, and so we're all set to go. The little bit of functionality that's here in the functions.php file is just the what needed to take place in order for the child theme to load. But then after that, we're just going to go in and we're going to dive right in and we're going to start adding the code that's necessary to add this light box and start loading this code that we just added. And so the first thing what we want to do is we just need to add a function. And so we'll type function. And then I always forget the N when it's function. So we want function, and then we're going to do 2015, because that's the theme we're using. We can call these functions absolutely anything that we want, but we are going to call this theme add lightbox. And we just want to make sure that it's a very particular, like it's a unique name, so that there's not going to be other functions that, running on our website that have the exact same name. So if you prefix with either your initials or if you prefix with the name of the theme, something along those lines, and then like have a descriptive function name of what it's actually doing, then that's going to, you know, work really, really well. So the first one that we want to do is we're going to do WP underscore and Q scripts. And thank you for Sublime Text for auto completing that for me. And we will open up these parentheses. And then the very first one is going to be really easy. And we can just put jQuery. Like that's all we need to do, because remember that was one of those ones that was already defined. And then if it's already defined, then the handle can be, you know, you just put in what that handle is and then it's going to automatically do this. Up until this point, jQuery is not being loaded into our child theme, you know, unless it's already been loaded in the main theme. But we just wanted to make sure that it is 100% for certain it's being loaded. And so we can go ahead and put it in there. If it's already being loaded in the main theme and we put it in here as, you know, this in this exact way, WP underscore and Q underscore scripts, then we know for certain that it will load. It's not going to load twice, but since we're doing it the right way, it's absolutely okay. Now what we want to do is we want to add one of those other files that I showed you. It was called jQuery.fancybox.pack.js. So let's go ahead and add that one. And we will do the same thing. We will open up the parentheses and then we will say that we'll call this one, the handle that we'll give it is fancybox. And so this is actually used in case you need to call this in another way for some reason. But I mean, for the most part in today's exercise, we won't actually do anything with it. So we will do that. And then what we'll say is we will get style. The next thing that we need is get style sheet underscore directory underscore URI parenthesis, and then we need a dot, and then we need slash include. There's a quote around here, and then slash include. And I'll show you where I got that in just a second, slash jQuery.fancybox.pack.js. Okay, so where'd that come from, you may be asking? So if we go back over to Safari and take a look, then we can see in the NQ script, and then it was, so we're trying to fill out the second part of the, we're trying to fill out the SRC, and then it says that we can use a get template directory URI, or I know for a fact that you can also use get style sheet directory URI. This one's great if you're using for themes. If you are using a child theme, then you need to use the get underscore style underscore directory underscore UI or underscore URI, which is what we ended up using in this example. So that we needed that piece. And then let's see what else is there in there. We need to say that it is dependent on having jQuery, so we'll say array is dependent on jQuery, which is good. And then we will say that false, we don't need to actually put a version number. You don't need quotes around that. And then we can say true, because yes, that can run in the footer. That's not a problem. So we'll go ahead and do that. And then what we need to do is we actually need to write a little bit of our own jQuery today, or JavaScript, just so that you can add the right classes and we can actually make this thing actually work. And so let's go ahead and just to save me just a few minutes of typing and you a few minutes of watching me type, let's go ahead and change this real quick. We're going to change this to actually say lightbox. So that's going to say lightbox. And then we're going to change this to say lightbox.js. And we'll create a new file. Let's see. We'll do a new file and we'll save that and we'll call it lightbox.js. And we'll put it in this file. And we'll show you that in just a second. So let's see, is there anything else we need to do? I guess let's enqueue the style sheet as well. So we'll do WP enqueue style. And then we'll just call this lightbox style maybe. Like so. We'll use the same. Let's use the same here. Let's just go like this and copy this whole thing. Make it a little bit faster. And then that is in the include file. And then it's called, I believe it was called jQuery. Let's just look real quick just to make sure. We can go over here and see. And that was called jQuery.fancybox.css. So jQuery.fancybox.css. Okay. And then we don't need to include any of these other things. It's not dependent on anything. It's not a print style sheet or anything like that. And there's no version number. So those things don't need to be included. So we need to do that. So now we've enqueued all of our functions properly. Now we just need to add an action and tell WordPress when to load this function. And so that's as simple as doing add action. And then we say, WP underscore enqueue scripts. That's when we want it to load. About right there. So that's this first parameter is when you want it to load. There's a ton of these different ones. You can say, like, I don't know these all off the top of my head, but you can say when WordPress is initialized, when WordPress is loaded, when WordPress plugins are loaded, when all of these, you know, there's all kinds of different times to say, okay, let's load these scripts now. So we want to load them when it's enqueue script. And then we can say, and then we want to say when WP underscore enqueue scripts runs, which is the function of enqueuing the scripts, then run 2015 underscore theme underscore add underscore lightbox. So we can go ahead and do that. Must have needed quotes around that. And so purple means that it's not good. Whoops. There we go. And we will save that. So in all seriousness, in all reality, if I typed everything correctly, then at least we should be able to reload our website and we should be able to at least not get an error message. So let's do that. So we do have a error message. Maximum function nesting of 100 reached on aborting. It looks like it's trying to load, add lightbox, do action. It's trying to load like the same thing like hundreds of times. Let's take a look at our code real quick and make sure that there's nothing wrong with it. If there's anything that's missing or false, true. Add action. Of course, this always happens on live webinars. That's exactly why I love doing these. So let's see if we get rid of, if we comment out. Whoops. Let's see if that by chance works. Okay, so that works. So it may be one of these things that's not working properly. Maybe if we go like this and we comment out this, let's see if the enqueue WP enqueue scripts. Well, that should all work. Maybe is it script? That was the issue. So it's WP underscore enqueue script, not scripts with an S. So now let's see if that works. You guys should have said something so that it's okay. So now it's loaded and so we don't have any problems. And so that is a good thing. It's not going to do anything quite yet because we haven't added any images or do anything. Let's just go ahead and do that real quick so that we have an image and maybe let's go into this post and then we'll just add them right there. So we can go and we can click edit posts, and let's see, distraction for, let's dismiss this. Let's add an image here. We'll add media. Is there anything in the media library? Nope. Let's try to upload files. Do I have anything in downloads? Let's see if there's anything. Of course, I should have had this ready. Let's do, if we go to Dropbox, and I have some miscellaneous pictures here. Let's upload. Yeah, we can just do all of these. We will add all of these images. These are just miscellaneous images to the site here so that we have them. And then we want to make sure that we are linking to the media file on all of them. We don't need to put all of them in our post. Maybe just these. Let's add those two pictures to our post. So we'll put them there. And let's move it over to this line, this view, so I can see it just a little bit better. So that's the first thing that we want to do. We've got the plugin all set up. But now what we want to do is we actually need to add a little bit of code in our Lightbox file so that we can... so we can start actually seeing these images appear when we click on them. So I guess first, let's do a view post so we can see this. No, I must not have saved it. Let's update it and then we'll take a look at it. And I'll have like all of the links for everything, the downloads, all of this stuff will be included with the webinar replay when you get a chance to watch that. So right now, if we click on this image, it's going to open up the Eiffel Tower and it's going to open it up in its own window. And so we want to make sure that that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get it to kind of pop up and appear in a light box. Just make it super nice when people click on the images so they're not taken to an individual different page. So let's go ahead and go back to Sublime Text, and we have just a little bit of code to add in this lightbox.js file. Basically, what we want to say is like if we add a certain class to an image, then we want it to automatically do this lightbox thing. So there's just a little bit of code that's involved here. So we want to say, we'll say function, and then we have dollar sign. And then we have a bracket here, and this is just how you start a bit of JavaScript, and then we'll do dollar sign, and then we'll say, let's see, parentheses, dot fancy box. So, and we can put anything that we'd want here if we really want to. So it's basically saying when there's a class of fancy box, then it's going to run the fancy box function. Like so. And then I believe, let's see if there's anything else we have to put at the end of this. We put a parenthesis, and then we put parentheses, and we say jQuery with an end quote like that. So I'm just looking off some notes here to make sure that I type things correctly. And let's go back to our site and see what happens. So if we do a refresh, we always need to do a refresh when we make code changes and adjustments, and then we click on the button, it still doesn't load. So it doesn't work quite yet. So there could be some error with my code. Let's go ahead and do a command option U on the Mac, and that's going to open up the source code. And if we scroll down to the bottom, I just want to make sure that things are loading properly. So let's scroll down here because remember we put the script and everything down in the footer. So that's going to be all down there. So we are loading the include lightbox.js and we're doing the jQuery. So if I click on this, it should open up and we should see some code. Okay, perfect. And then if I click on this one, we should click on that and that should see some code. And there is some code there. So those two things we know that are working. And then we want to check and make sure that let's see, the style isn't there. So I don't see that. Let's go back and check that in our code real quick. In the functions.php, we want to say in QStyle, we want to say jQuery fancybox.css. Is that correct? jQuery fancybox.css. Now we can call this, yeah, that's fine, get style. Sheet directory URI. It's in the include file. Fancybox.css. Let's double check what I had pre-typed out to make sure that's okay. Enqueue style. That looks okay. Let's go back here and just make sure that this is all okay. So we want to say .fancybox. Oh, I remember why. We didn't give it a class of FancyBox. Here I'm checking my code, and we didn't actually do what we needed to. So we need to go in here, and then we need to say in the image itself, we need to put, let's see, we'll just put it here at the end. And then we'll say class equals FancyBox. And we can copy this, and we can put it here at the end of this, and then we can update. Makes a big difference when you actually add the class. And so now let's see what happens. If we click on it, it still is opening up to its own image. So there's still something that's not quite right. Let's go ahead and we'll continue to troubleshoot this. This is what happens. Like even though that it's a live webinar, it has to, let's see, I'm looking here. People are leaving me comments here. Good point, Joe. Joe says that I didn't choose to do that in the footer. And so maybe if we scroll up here, we can see it in the header to make sure that that's, yeah. So that's loading here. Let's make sure that that page looks good. Okay, so that's all looking good. All of this, I'm concerned that it may be something with this file, with the Lightbox file. So I'll continue to I guess dig into this and see if there's anything wrong with this code. Aha. I think I did this on my last attempt at this. There was an extra parenthesis right there. And so that should be what does it. Nope. Class equals fancy box. That should be right. That should have worked. That should have done what we were looking to do. Maybe we'll move on to the next thing and see if the next piece of the puzzle works. And then if not, we'll continue to troubleshoot. I feel horrible that this is, you know, coming down to this, but I'm just going to go ahead and copy this code to make sure that it works properly, hopefully. And then we will see if that's code works, and then maybe we can go back and troubleshoot this. So this code here is actually going to make anything that's got a .jpeg, .png, .jpeg, .gif, any of those files, it's going to automatically make those appear in a Lightbox so that you don't actually have to... wait a second. Maybe I have an aha moment. Maybe this, instead of being in here... it needed to be in here. Got to give the link the class. Now it's going to work 100%. There we go. We've got to give it the image. So basically, this JavaScript is working because it is looking at the link. And instead of taking the link to a new place, it's now doing this in place of opening that link in a new window. And so that was the initial problem. That's what was going on here with that image. So that's a good thing that we've got that figured out. Now I want to show you, if you don't want to have to put that class on every single image, then what you can do is you can actually add code like this that will allow anything that has that ending in a link, so a JPEG, a PNG, etc., it will make those automatically open up in the proper window. So if we go back over to our site, let's add a couple more images since I added the fancy box class to those. Let's add another image and just say, let's just pull up this picture here of Venice. And then we will save that and then refresh our page. So remember, we did no classes. We didn't add any classes to that whatsoever. And so the Eiffel Tower should open a new window. This should open a new window. And then this picture as well should open in a new window if everything was correct in my code, of course. Let's see. There's .jpg. Oh, I didn't save this file, did I? No, I didn't save this. So this file was not saved. And so now instead of loading, looking for something with the class of fancy box, now it's just looking for a link that has the ending JPEG, PNG, etc. So now if we go back over to our site and we go back and we do a refresh, and now this will pull up in that window as well. So that's another really cool, just a picture of Venice. And so that is how that whole thing works. Now, I know that I'm running out of time and we're getting to, there's some questions here in the channel that we're going to go to in just a second. But I want to make sure that I spend just a few minutes talking about how to add Google Fonts, if we want to add Google Fonts to our website. And so let's go here. We'll just open a new tab and say Google Fonts. And so if we needed to, it's just google.com/fonts. And this is pretty cool if we want to. Let's see. Let's do Open Sans. Open Sans, is that one? We want to add Open Sans, add to collection. And then another one that we want to do is, let's do Oswald is another one that we can do. So Oswald, O-S... Walled, so that will work. We'll add that to our collection, and then that should be good. Let's see, how do we get from adding to collection? Let's go to the use tab, and we can pick how many if we want Open Sans, how many of these versions that we want. Maybe we want that one and we want the bold text, and then for the Oswald we just want normal. So that's all good. We don't need any character set, like we just want the regular Latin. Maybe that one should do. Maybe Latin extended in case we need it for some reason. And then basically what it's going to do is it's going to have you add this code. This is how it wants you to add this. So it wants you to just basically, you can take this and you can paste this right into your header.php file if we want to. But we don't really want to do that because, you know, that's not the proper way to enqueue this. This is just basically adding it to the header.php, and it's not the best way. So I've actually got a custom function that has been written that we can go ahead and we can just add to this functions.php file as well. So we'll talk through it in a second. Let's go ahead and go into Sublime Text. We will go to the functions.php file. And let me go ahead and paste this in here just because, again, I want to save some time and we don't want to, you know, spend time all day just typing up code for the fun of it. So basically, this is a function called Google Fonts, and it is going to run when the scripts are enqueued as well, and it's doing the exact same thing as this action is up here. And basically, we're building an array, and we have in the array, we have the family and the subset, and we can find this information when we are on Google Fonts that we can see that the family is right here. So we are saying family right there. And then we are saying the family is Open Sans and Oswald. And then we are saying the subset is Latin and Latin extended. If you had more things that you checked, all of those would show up right there. So that's where that information came from. That's where this query array is coming from. And then basically what we are doing is we are registering a style sheet. We're calling it Google Fonts. And then we will add a jQuery argument. So we're basically merging this information with the fonts.google.com's APIs. And that's just the way that it's built. And of course, you'll get the code to this once this webinar is over. And we'll just go ahead and go from there. So that should be all that we need from the functions.php file. And then if we go over to, I guess we need to actually add it into the style. So let's say we want to change this from open, let's say we want to say font family, and then we can say Open Sans. I believe that should work. And then if we go back over to our site, we can see that it is hello world like this. If we do a refresh, it's not going to do anything because it's not on the homepage. And so if we go back to our homepage, remember this kind of block type text is just here like this. This is the actual link. And we need to actually, let's see. Oh, Open Sans needs to be in quotes. So thank goodness for my notes here. We'll just copy that, make it just a little bit quicker. Get rid of one of these and save it. And now when we go back to our site, we should be able to do a refresh and we'll see that this font has changed. It should have changed. Oh, font size. How about font family? This always happens on live webinars, little things like that. And so you can see the font change did happen and it did change. So those are that's the way that you would properly enqueue that Google Fonts. It's a good way to do that in the fact that if somebody else has already loaded Google Fonts or another plugin or something is using Google Fonts, they're not going to clash and they're not going to have to load double twice. You know, like they're not going to have to load double the time. So that's kind of a reason why doing Google Fonts in this manner using a functions.php file is recommended as the best way to do it. So I'm going to head on over and spend some time reading some questions. If you have anything that you'd like me to talk about on the remaining balance of the time here, just feel free to ask a question and then we'll get right to it. When shooting for page speed, aka making your Google score fast, a minimal inline script is a big win. How do we inline script with WordPress versus loading a bunch of JS files? How do you do it inline? So you're trying to load code like right in line when you need it. Is that, I guess the only way to really do that is I don't think there's a really good way to do it. I don't know if, let's maybe just Google it real quick and see if there's anything. Load WordPress JavaScript inline. I don't know if that's even a thing. I assume that's what you mean by minimal inline script. I guess I'm not 100% sure, Michael, what minimal inline script means. Could you spend a little time just explaining it just a little bit better? Mike asks, can you share more on why this custom function is a better way? Yeah, it's much better in the fact that if you build it into your functions.php file or your own custom plugin, whatever the case may be, like you're not going to load duplicate copies of JavaScript. You're not going to load duplicate things like duplicate copies of JavaScript with different version numbers will break your site. If you do it this way, if you enqueue properly, then that makes sure that, I mean, WordPress is smart enough that it knows, okay, we don't want to load double copies of this. So it's got, you know, one copy and then two copies. It's going to say, oh, we're going to pick one of them. We're not going to run it duplicate. And so that's probably one of the best reasons. It also helps you to keep all of your scripts in one area. I mean, you can put all your scripts in one area in your header.php file, but it's just the recommended way for doing it within WordPress. I'm trying to think if there's any other reason. Like this is just the way that WordPress has been set up and it's the best way. The main reason is the fact that it's not going to clash with other code that may be loading from other plugins and other things. So if you hard coded in jQuery in your site and then somebody else hard-coded jQuery into your JavaScript, you know, a certain version into their plugin, and you try to run both of them at the same time, they're not going to work. And so if we enqueue scripts and enqueue styles, then they're not going to clash and they're not going to overlook and work improperly. Michael fills me in a little bit. He says, this is something Google teaches to do on their web page speed rankings or ratings. It is to do with the render blocking JS and CSS. This is according to Google, should also have a minimal CSS for above the fold CSS. Yeah, there's so many things to do it right with Google, and like I'm just not a super expert on that. So if you only want certain CSS to load above the fold, then you'd want to like enqueue your scripts to be down at the bottom so that they're not taking up a lot of page speed. Like I think Google's main thing is they want the top part of your website, the stuff that's going to be in the browser, to load very, very quickly and load very, very, you know, like they want it to come up fast so that people can get to the results that they need. and not have to wait a few seconds to for your entire page and your entire thing to load. So I guess that my best recommendation would be to just run your test through, and I can't do this on this because it's a development site, but run your test through the Google webpage tools. And from there, what you can do is you can see like their recommendations. A lot of times they do a very good job of recommending, hey, do this. Compress your JavaScript files or, you know, whatever it is, like they'll let you know like the different ways to make it load, like their suggestions on how to make your webpage load faster. So I guess that maybe answers your question. Sorry, I'm not a super developer in this manner because I haven't been in it for the last year and a half or so, ever since I started Automattic. Like, I don't do this stuff on a regular basis, but you know, I know just enough to be dangerous, and then that's what I was planning on sharing today. Let's see, Mike asks, is Angular JS, let me ask his question. Does Angular JS work well with WordPress? And I believe so. I've never tried it myself. But I wouldn't see why it wouldn't work. I think that there's a plugin that's already out there that's called AngularJS for WordPress. And that basically just gives you the ability, like without having to hand code exactly what we did today, they did that exact same thing inside of a plugin. So you can just go ahead and activate a plugin. So that's something that you could look into. Like I said, I've never used it, but it's a great way to add that a client side type framework that you can have them extend your HTML and, you know, do all that kind of stuff within with AngularJS. Mike says, if we enqueue the JS, should we make it async? I'm not sure if, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it's necessary to do that. And so I don't know. I'm just gonna be honest. Like, I don't know. I can try to find out some more information and let you know. But as far as I know, I don't think there's even. It's not relevant, I don't think. Any other questions that I could try to tackle and try to field? This is just one like small example. Of course, like when we were looking at that. When we were looking at this, like there's so many things that's built right into WordPress. So if we wanted to add, you know, the jQuery UI button or date picker, like this is something you can just click on this link and it's going to open up here in a new tab and you can see exactly how it works. Like if you wanted to add, you know, something along these lines, if you had a date box and then you just add, okay, we want to have it at that date or whatever. Like it shows the source code. It shows you, it gives you all the information that you need. Like this is just jQuery stuff that's built right in and you can just extend, your WordPress theme or your plugin or anything like that with just some of these things. So maybe something that I'm like looking into is updating one of my plugins to be draggable. So how would I do that? So I would go here and I would look like jQuery UI draggable. And so then I would click on that and then it says all elements can be moved around. So we can move and we can move and we can move. And so that's kind of cool. Like that's kind of a neat thing to say, okay, this whole thing is going to be able to be dragged and dropped and moved around. And so that's pretty cool. Like if that's something in functionality that I needed to add to whatever I was building, you know, something on the back end, maybe you were building a list and you wanted to be able to move it around. Like that's exactly what you would do. So any more questions, feel free to ask. I'm just going to go ahead and play with some of these just to see what's the difference. So if we've got draggable, then let's go ahead and look at droppable. And it creates a target. So you can drop it in here. That's kind of cool. So that's just some of the things that you can do with jQuery. jQuery is one of those cool new languages. I don't think it's new, but it's something that I just haven't grasped my head around. Like there's just so many cool things to learn about WordPress and learn about just web design in general that I just haven't had a lot of time to figure out how this all works and how to make it, you know, work properly and do the things that I really would like to do. So let's maybe look at these are just kind of triggering my mind and thinking like, what can I do? Like you see some of these things like, oh, a button, like what can I use these buttons for? And you know, things along those lines. So That's pretty much all that I wanted to share with you today. I think that we spent a good amount of time like learning and understanding how the pieces of the puzzle work. And now it's up to you to go in and spend some time just kind of digging in and diving in and trying to figure out on your own. This whole webinar has been recorded. As long as the technology is working properly and I recorded the right screen and all of those things, it should be recorded, and you will get a copy of this in your email later today. You'll get all the source files and everything that, you know, up to the latest version of what we typed out in Sublime Text and all those different things. And so that's going to wrap up the episode here, or the webinar for July 3rd in 2015. We'll be back with you next month to do another in-depth topic that I just can't cover on a podcast, but it needs like an hour-long time to look and view the screen. And so until then, take care and enjoy. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the holiday weekend. It's a holiday weekend here in the United States. Enjoy that time with your friends and your family, and we'll see you again on a podcast episode shortly or next month on next month's webinar. Take care, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.